let's start. Parshas Lech Lecha. I'm going to have a little bit of fun with this because I'm going to put together about seven midrashim that we're going to learn about or kastim. And it's one of the fun ones because there's so much going on in these midrashim, things that you probably have known about since you were a little kid, but you just never put all these things together. And we're going to learn what exactly happened that put it together. So there's a pasuk in this week's parsha. Perek Tesvav Pasuk Zayin. It says, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu right before the bris made of his son, was before that bris happened. He said to him, I am Hashem Asher Tzei Sichem Yor Kastim that took you out from Or Kastim, to give you this land to inherit. So the question is obviously, what does it mean that he took us out or took Avram out from Or Kastim? What's that? That wording also, Asher Tzei Sicha, is used by Yitzias Mitzrayim. What exactly does that mean that it took you out of Or Kastim? So it makes it clear. Avram at one point lived in Ur Kasdim. And by the way, I'm going to try my hardest to try to say Avram instead of Avraham, because at this point he's still Avram. But it makes no mention of anything that happened there. There is no pasuk in the Torah that tells us what happened in Ur Kasdim. This follows a pasuk at the very end of Parshas Noach, which says, "Vayetsu itam mi'or kasdim lachasar tzokanan," that Avram, Sarai, Lot, they went with Terach out of Ur Kasdim into going into Eretz Canaan, that they all went to Eretz Canaan. So Ur Kasdim was a place where they lived. They stopped off in Haran. They didn't make it to Eretz Canaan. But Ur Kasdim was a place that they lived, and something seemed to have happened there where it says that they left, and Hashem says, I took you out. What does that mean that Hashem says, I took you out? Now, the pasuk, three psukim earlier in Parshas Noach, it says, Vayamas Haran al pnei Terach aviv. Haran died upon the face of Terach, his father, the Eretz Meladet Ur Kasdim, and the land that he was born in Ur Kasdim. So Haran died in that area in Ur Kasdim, and then Terach and Haran's two children, Lot and Sarai, along with Avraminu, they all left. What happened? Says Rashi, you all know this. King Nimrod got a complaint from Terach himself, from the father, about his son Avram, that Avram had destroyed the idols in the shop. Yes, this is the medrash that we all know, that Avraminu took the food, served it to the idols, and clearly the idols couldn't do anything. So he took a stick, put it in the hands of the biggest idol, knocked down and destroyed all the idols. According to one medrash, he burned the other idols. And when Terach saw it, he said, what happened over here? Avraminu said, the biggest one destroyed all the other ones. They were fighting over the food, to which Terach said, that's ridiculous. These idols obviously can't move. To which Avram replied, listen to yourself. If they're ridiculous, if they don't have anything there, then what are you bothering with these things for? That we all know. Terach immediately went to Nimrod and said that Avram is destroying idols and instigating revolts throughout the land, everything happening around. Nimrod then threw him into a kivshan ha'esh. Now, to be clear, a kivshan is not a tanur. A tanur is the oven that they used to have back in the day that sort of looked like this. They had two shtenders right next to each other. There were holes in the middle. They put the pots down in the middle. They had a little thing like right like this in which they put in the wood, lit it on fire, and then everything was put down right over here. A tanur was two of these. A kirayim was only one of these, right? But a tanur had like a double thing. And then kivshan was different. A kivshan was a kiln. Usually, though not always, there was an oven that was like this and then went up, sort of like a little smokestack that went up ahead. They would make pottery inside a kivshan esh. So simply put, the kivshan esh was a large pottery barn where you had all this fire inside. It was very, very hot inside because you need everything to melt down almost completely. They would put it inside there, and he threw Avraminu inside this area. Haran, says Rashi, was not on either side. He wasn't on Nimrod's side, but he wasn't on Avram's side either. He decided the following, I'm going to go with the winner. If Nimrod wins, if Avram Aminu dies, then I'm with Nimrod. If Avram wins and Avram survives, then I'm with Avram. When Avram survived the Kivshan Esh, they turned to Haran and said, whose side are you on? He said, I'm on Avram's side. They threw him into the Kivshan Esh, and Haran was burned. Haran died. Al Pnei Terach Aviv, because of Terach, what Terach did, Terach went and told on Avram. That is what killed his other son, Haran. Avram survived, but Haran died. That's what you learn from over here. So let me ask you, I know this seems obvious. What's the difference between Avram and Haran? What's the difference between them? Tell me, I want you to be honest with me. Would you throw yourself into an oven even after Avram Vinu just survived? Would you be willing to die for such an idea? And I know, we're willing to be Moser Nefesh. We think about it every single morning in Shema, at least we're supposed to. I'm supposed to say when I say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you should know this. My, oh my, is what you're supposed to think of when you say Shema. It's my own mnemonic, but I think it makes sense. My oh my is mitzvah of Kriya Shema, to be yotze the mitzvah, all malchus shamayim, moser nefesh, that I'm willing to be moser nefesh, and yichud of Hashem, the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My mitzvah yotze, O is all malchus shamayim, my is mesiris nefesh and yichud of Hashem. You're supposed to think of those five. And during that time when you say Shema, you have to think of yourself that I'm willing to throw myself in an oven. But Haran does not have the spiritual DNA that Avraham Avinu gave us. Haran is not the same person that Avraham Avinu was. Why in the world was Haran willing to throw himself in? And if he was, doesn't that make him a great person? If he's such a great person, why didn't he survive with Avraham Avinu? Why did Haran die? Asked Rav Schwab. What did he do wrong? And he answers. He says, Mesiris Nefesh needs another factor. And it's called Emes. If you want to survive the Mesiris Nefesh that you're in, you have to be MS to yourself. Avraham Avinu went into the Kivshei Nesh. Here's his thought process. His thought process was, I'm probably going to die. Could I survive? I might survive. But I'm probably going to die. I would say 90% I'm going to die, 10% that I'm going to survive. And I'm willing to do it anyway. I'm willing to sacrifice my life for what I believe in. When he used MS with his Mesiris Nefesh, MS with Mesiris Nefesh, he survived. Haran went in, 90% I'm going to live, 10% I'm going to die. I'm willing to be Moser Nefesh as long as there's a good chance I'm going to survive. Once he saw Avram survive, that's when he was willing to go in. That's not Mesiris Nefesh with MS. He's not really being Moser Nefesh. He's being Moser Nefesh because he thinks he's going to live. Then you don't live. That's when you don't go through. You need Mesiris Nefesh and Emes. That's the Medrash. You maybe heard this Medrash before. Avraham Avinu survived the Kivshei Nesh because of Yaakov Avinu. Doesn't mean because of Yaakov Avinu. He survived the Kivshei Nesh because he used the Midah of Yaakov. What's the Midah of Yaakov? What's Yaakov Avinu known for? Emes. That's what he survived with. He survived with that Midah together with his Mesiris Nefesh. Noah, what were you going to say? Well, I'm sorry? There's no question Haran died al pi Kiddush Hashem. But why didn't he survive? What happened to Haran? Why wasn't he considered so great? And the answer is, you need Mesiris Nefesh with MS. You can't go in thinking you're going to survive. You have to mamish think to yourself, I am going to die and I'm willing to go anyway. That's what you have to think. And only then does it work. That's the concept behind it. That's the lesson. And the lesson for me, at least, is to be truthful to myself. What can I really do, and what do I think I'm doing just because everybody else is doing it? I have to do something because I really believe it's the right thing to do, not because it's just in vogue and that's what everybody's doing. We have to have MS with every bit of Mesiris Nefesh that we have in this world. When we give up something that we might like, that's what you have to do. The Maskil Ladavid says that Haran was a great tzaddik. He points out that his body was not burned on the outside. Haran died in the Kivshei Nesh, but he was not burned to ashes. His body survived. Notice what it says, Vayamas Haran al pi Terach Aviv. Haran died, but it was by Terach. As if he walked out of the Kivshei Nesh. He should have burned into ashes. He walked out of the Kivshei Nesh and died with his father. That's ridiculous. How did he do that? How in the world? Who else died like that? Where the Neshama died, but the outside remained intact. Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Aviv. As a side note, it's not a coincidence that Haran sounds like Aharon. Haran and Aaron share a Neshama. In some way, shape, or form. That's not a coincidence. Haran is Aaron in a way, and Nadav and Avihu had the exact same death. That's the idea that the Maskil Ladavid says. You should know that proves that Haran was a very great man. The Netziv said this story is hinted to in Migdal Bavel. You know when this happened? When did they have a huge Kivshei Nesh? When did they have a kiln where they had a massive fire in it? Well, you needed a kiln to make bricks. When did they need bricks at around this time? To Migdal Bavel. This whole story of Avram being thrown into the Kivshei Nesh was during Migdal Bavel, says the Netziv. And it makes so much sense. The Pasuk says, come, let's make bricks and we'll make a huge fire. That was the brick oven that they threw Avram Avinu into. Avram was thrown in and the chemor became mortar and everything it says over there. They didn't make a brand new oven for Avram to be thrown into. They had it already. They had this fire going for anybody who goes against them. Avram was the first to survive. Everybody else that Nimrod threw in died. Avram was the first one to be able to survive it. That's an amazing, amazing Netziv. That if you ask, when did this happen? It happened during Migdal Bavel. Does anybody know the year the Migdal Bavel happened? Does anybody know it? It's a hard one. 1996. 1996. Avraham Avinu was born in 1948. He was altogether 48 years old when this happened. That's the Medrash that says that Avraham Avinu found God at the age of 48. Some say 3, some say 40, some say 48. Because he found God at Migdal Bavel, and that's when he was thrown into the Kivshan Esh, at Migdal Bavel. That's the opinion. The Rambam says 40. The other Midrashim say 3. But this opinion of 48 comes from Migdal Bavel, and that's what the Netziv is basing himself on. It sounds brilliant. It sounds absolutely brilliant. Now, Targum Yonasan brings the story of Haran's death a little bit differently. When Avraham Avinu was thrown into the Kivshan Esh, so listen to this. He was thrown in, and all the people saw that he survived, and they said, you know why he survived? Because Haran is a great magician. And if Haran is such a great magician, he's keeping Avraham Avinu alive. They turned over to Haran, and right then, at Kadosh Baruch Hu, in order to show everyone that it wasn't Haran, that Avraham Avinu survived the Kivshan Esh because of him, not because of Haran, a lightning bolt came down from the heavens, struck Haran, killed him right in front of everybody. So he wasn't thrown in the Kivshan Esh. He didn't die from Nimrod. A lightning bolt struck him to show everyone, no, it's not Haran. Avraham Avinu is surviving because I want him to survive. They knew at that point that there's something better going on, and he died on Terach's lap, literally on Terach's lap, from the lightning bolt, not from the fire itself. That's the flame that came down from Shemayim. Now, this story of the Kivshan Esh, surprisingly, shockingly almost, doesn't appear in Shas Bavli. There is no story of the Kivshan Esh in the Gemara Bavli. You know that? You go through Gemara Bavli, it's not there. In Psachim Kuf Yud Ches Amid Aleph, it says that Gavriel, who's the Malach of Esh, he's the Malach of Fire, says to Hashem, let me save Avraham Avinu. I'm the Malach of Fire, let me save Avraham Avinu. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to go in myself. It's actually a machlokas in Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Mem Dalid, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Michoel saved Avraham Avinu. And the Rabbanan say that Hashem did it himself. And the latter opinion makes sense from our pasuk. I took you out of Mitzrayim, out of Ur Kasdim, I'm sorry. I took you out. Says Hashem, I did it. Not Michoel, not Gavriel. I did it myself. It's learned out from this pasuk itself. But that's one, it's a remez. There's no story of the Ur Kasdim in the Gemara. In Bava Basra, Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Aleph, it says Avram was captured in Kuta. Now, where is Kuta? Unfortunately, we're not aware of these areas today. Chaf Vav Taf Aleph is the way it's spelled. We don't know what this is, but it's a city around Aram Naharaim, which is near Haran, far away from Bavel. Not really in Bavel. Aram Naharaim, today, probably we considered, like, I don't know, I think somewhere near Syria or somewhere near Iran. I'm not sure exactly which way, if it's west or east of Iraq, of Bavel. But regardless, it would have been around there, around that area, and only later moved with Terach to the land of the Kasdim, the land of the Babylonians, and that's where Haran was born. That's where the Gemara says over there in Bava Basra. And in Kuta, Avram was thrown in jail for 10 years, it says. In other versions of the Gemara, it says 12 years. 10 or 12 years. The Ramban says Avram himself was born in Kuta. He argued with many people that were there, and this is the Ramban in the sixth parsha. He argued with the people that were there, and they served the sun and fire. When he wouldn't listen to the king, he doesn't say, it's funny, the Ramban does not mention Nimrod by name, but when he said he wouldn't listen to the king and worship their gods, he commanded that Avram be put in jail. But even in jail, Avram was very influential. In fact, he made his jailer, the person who was in charge of him, made his jailer monotheistic. Even he started believing in God. The king decided he had to be put to death, but something happened. Says the Ramban, either it was a nes nister. What's a nes nister? A hidden miracle. A miracle that nobody knew about. The king just decided, you know what, I won't kill you, I'll just banish you to another land. And he was banished to somewhere else entirely, to Eretz Canaan, which was Haran, and eventually made it to Eretz Canaan. And Avram was kicked out. Or it was in Es Galui, and the Kivshan Esh happened. The Ramban is not sure. Crazy, right? The Ramban says, I don't know what happened. Did the Kivshan Esh happen? Might have. Might have been in Es Galui. It may have also been in Es Nister. Now the Rambam, in Mori Nevuchim, Perek Gimel, brings down, Perek Gimel, Simon, I don't know, Choftes, brings down that this is brought down in the Sefer Avodas Hayikarim HaMitzriim. The Avoda, the service of the different things of the Egyptians. I don't know if you want to call it the farmers, but the important people in Egypt. He says he was banished, the king took away all his money, and he brought away no mention of the great fire pit. No mention of Or Kostim as being this huge fiery thing that he survived. The Rambam doesn't mention it. The Ramban says maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. The Malbim says that they did worship the sun and the fire, these people that he were in. And it was a great fire pit that he was thrown into, and that was part of their religion. The religion is that they had to have a fire going at all times. There had to be a constant fire that they had going at all times, no matter what. He wonders what might have happened, where that might have happened, where it might have happened itself, and if Kuta is really in the same area or not, but he had no idea. The Malbim says, we're not given any information. If Shas Bavli doesn't talk about it, if Yerushalmi doesn't bring down this story, and we're getting it from Midrashim, and the Midrashim are machlokisim on one another, then we have an issue. What's going on with this story exactly? Why is the Pasuk, the Pesukim don't mention it, Gemara Bavli doesn't mention it, except in Remez, as we said in Bava Basra and Pesachim. Yerushalmi doesn't mention it, except in passing again. Yerushalmi Sota, a couple other places, but nothing straight. What's going on here? He can't understand it. So it seems to be that there's an Apkamini here. You know there's a halacha that if you would go to Or Kostim and you would see the area that they call, the area where they have a huge fire, you're supposed to make a bracha. You have to make a bracha there. You know what bracha you make? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Machalam, she'asa nisim lavosenu b'makom hazeh. He made miracles for our fathers in this place. Now, if a real open miracle happened, you'd have to make a bracha there. That's what it says by the Rashbam in Bava Basra Tzadi Aleph, that you would have to make the bracha there. But if no open miracle happened, but rather it was a closed miracle, he just got out of it, then in that case, no need to make a bracha. So there's an actual machlokas. Now, does this place exist? Here's what I can tell you. I can't tell you anything more than this. There's a Sefer Masei Yisrael. I found this originally in a Komus, in a Mishpacha magazine years ago, this Masei Yisrael. I've never seen it inside. I've seen it quoted in a bunch of different places. Masei Yisrael says that the man who wrote it says he one time went to a city called Orpah, known as Orpah, which claims to be the birthplace of Avram Avinu. He claims that he went there and saw a huge pit in the ground surrounded by a wooden fence and huge stone walls surrounding the entire area. The pit is now filled with water from a nearby spring, and there are tons of fish in the pool that they sit where they claim Avram Avinu was burned. The Arabs treat this pool with great respect, and anyone who dares to steal a fish from the pool is immediately put to death. The fish have lived there for many years without being touched. They've now, the pool is filled with them, so that they don't have, the point is, right now, where they don't have any room to go from one place to the other. About 50 steps from the pool lies two pillars of stone with an iron chain around them. That was the slingshot that they used to throw Avram into the area itself, since they couldn't go near the fire without being burned. It's amazing, he says, that it still exists even today. Now, this is written about 400 years ago, but the concept, that it, I don't know, I have absolutely no idea if this city or does exist today. Whether this exists with that pool and the fish inside that, I have absolutely no idea. I tried looking up something, you can never tell, like I'm not an internet guy, so maybe somebody with better research skills than me will be able to figure out something, whatever it is. All I did was, does or still exist? I didn't get anything out of that. I didn't, plus no images, so can't get anything out of that either. But if this still exists, that's awesome. You went from fire to water. He turned, Avraham Avinu turned the fiery pit into the water of Chesed. That's an amazing line. It's an amazing thing. So now let's get into the Medrash itself. The Rabbeinu Bechaya brings it on this Pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Miyam Loez adds on some points. I'm also bringing down what the Otzara Midrashim brings from Eisenstein, as well as the Torah Shlema, Rabbi Menachem Kasher brings as well. So it's a combination of all of these Midrashim. Here's what it says. Nimrod was king over much of the world by this time. He considered himself a god to others, which is why the Pasuk never records Nimrod's birth, and it seems to be different from all of his other brothers. There's like Nimrod and then his brothers, and it's very, very different. The Gibor Tzayit, it seems very, very weird. In the end, he was told that a child had been born to Terach, his servant, whose children will eventually take over the world. Not only this world, but the next world as well. The way that he saw it was something weird. It was something like this. They saw one star come from the east and swallow up four stars in all directions of the heavens. So I don't know what that means exactly. Somehow a shooting star went out, 1, 2, 3, 4, and destroyed or made disappear four stars of the heavens. The people saw this and they debated. They said, should we tell Nimrod or should we not tell Nimrod? In the end, they told him. They said, this child is going to be born. So they said, give Terach huge amounts of money. They said they know that it's going to be Terach's child and ask him to kill his child. That's what happened. Apparently, Terach was also an expert stargazer and he saw what was happening as well. And he, I guess, he would know to hide the child before Nimrod got to him. Nimrod went up to Terach, and Terach was fooled into saying that his wife had just given birth to a baby boy. Somehow Nimrod was able to fool him into saying it out loud, but he claimed, I'm sorry, the child had died. Lied to his king, to Nimrod, and said the child had died. He then gave the child to someone who brought him to a cave, and he sat in the cave for 3 years, some say 13 years, and he prayed to God to take care of the baby. Hashem, if you want this baby, allow the baby to survive. That's what Terach did. Hashem made a huge miracle for the child. It was fed miraculously while it was in the cave. And at the age of 3 or 13, the child emerged from the cave, began to investigate what the world is all about. He was convinced when he saw the sun rise from the east, the sun is the ruler of the world. But when the sun set and the moon came out with all the stars, he said, no, the moon is the ruler and all the stars are his subjects. When the moon set, then he said, no, there's something beyond all of this. The sun is not the king. The moon is not the king. There's something behind the sun and the moon. And he prayed to him, whoever that him was. Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar and Parakha Vav says he was hid in the ground for 13 years, not in a cave, but in the ground, and miraculously survived with the help of Malachim. Miam Lois says part of this a bit differently, and there's a bit of a difference at the start of the story. He says they saw that a baby would be born in the future to someone, but they didn't know who. They didn't know Terach, and he would become great and famous and chase out the evil people of the land. Nimrod then commanded to make the very first hospital. He told every woman who was pregnant and every midwife that they should come to this area, and in this area, everybody would have their baby. And if the baby was born and the nurses were all there, if the baby was a boy, they would kill him. And if the baby was a girl, they would let her live. They would give presents and everything. It's very similar to what happens, obviously, by Paro. The difference is, according to this Medrash, the way the Miam Lois and Otsura and Midrashim are saying it, there was a hospital involved. They made the very first hospital. Sure, it was somewhat sanitary conditions. So things went, and they did this for about a year. Thousands of babies were killed. According to the Medrash, 60,000 babies were put to death by the hands of Nimrod, by the hands of these midwives. What had happened in this hospital? Obviously not a very good hospital. Then Terach's wife became pregnant. Terach was a top advisor to Nimrod. And when Terach realized that his wife was pregnant, he immediately went up to test. He said, if this is a baby, I'm going to kill the baby myself. So he put his hand on Amaslai. Amaslai is the name of Avram Avinu's mother. It's mentioned in Baba Basra, Tzadi Aleph Amid Aleph. He put his hand on Amaslai's stomach, and the baby that was there miraculously went up into the chest. When he took his hand off, then it went back down in her stomach. He said, what is this? She said, I have a disease. My family has this weird disease. We get this growth, and sometimes it's here, sometimes it's here, sometimes it goes on the side. I have a growth. She lied completely. And she said, don't worry. He said, I think you're pregnant. She said, I am absolutely not pregnant. There is no vlad inside my stomach. She lied. And she went through that for 9 months. After 9 months, the baby was born. And again, Terach kept trying to see if the baby was born. She went to a cave to give birth to the baby. So it wasn't Terach that brought the baby to the cave, or a servant that brought it to the cave. It was Amaslai herself who brought the baby to the cave and then left the baby in the cave. Left it in Davin to Hashem, same idea that Terach did, Davin to Hashem, that it should be, that this baby should survive. See here, there is another mashal that, it could be that Terach realized this in the end, gave a mashal to Nimrod, how am I supposed to give up the life of my son for a bit of money? But eventually he said he was joking to Nimrod and said that he would honor his command. He begged for 3 days to ask his wife for mercy. That's if he knew about it. If he didn't know about it, the baby was left in the cave by a maslai for 3 days or 3 years or 13 years, depending on the version of the Medrash. She left him there for a long, long time. So either way, there's another Medrash. If Terach knew about it, and he was given 3 days, Terach went to one of his maidservants. Now, I am not saying that this is a good thing to do, but he paid off his maidservant, took her baby, and gave it to Nimrod. Nimrod killed that baby, thinking that it was Avram, thinking it was the baby that had been prophesied about, that he had dreamed about, that was up in the stars, etc. And Avram survived again in the cave, thinking that they forgot about it. They forgot about this whole thing for a very, very long time. Now, Avram survived. 3 years old, 3 days old, 13 years old, however old he was, he came out of the cave and he started asking questions. Some say he met Terach. Others say he met Amaslai. Others say he met Eliyahu HaNavi. It depends on which measures you're looking at. Each one seems a little bit different, but he's shocked by the hypocrisies of the world. He looks at the world and he says, how can you worship Avodah Zarah? How did you leave me in a cave? What kind of mother leaves a baby in a cave for 3 days, 3 years, in which Amaslai said, what did you want me to do? I didn't know how to let you survive, so I put you in the hands of God, and God obviously has let you survive. Once he came back, he started walking back and showing people how silly idol worship was. Some say this is when the Medrash happened of him smashing the idols, going up to the women and men in the street and asking what they're doing. Either way, at some point he went to Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver, according to the Medrash, for 39 years. He learned at Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver, but no one knew who he was or where he was from or anything about him. How old was he when he figured these things out when this happened? 3, maybe 40, 48, as we said before. Maybe it had something to do with Migdal Bavel. But then he went back. He went back fully to his family. At that point, that's when idols, at some point, something like that happened. He placed the torch or the hammer in the eye, whatever. Terach blamed him. Avram pointed out his hypocrisy. And apparently, Nimrod had had enough. Now he realized that he was fooled before, that the baby that he had killed was not that baby, or that the baby had not died on his own, depending on the Medrash. And he said, now it's time to take Avram Avinu. And again, we don't know the age, but I'm going to go with the Netziv. He's 48, and it's the time of Migdal Bavel. He decides this is the time for it to be so. He brings Avram in front of him and asks him to do tshuva. Worship me as your God, says Nimrod, and I'll let you live. To which Avram says, I will worship you as a god if you can make the sun rise in the west and set in the east. To which Nimrod said, I can't. So Avram said, then there's nothing I can do. I can't worship you as a god if you can't act the way that a god would do. If you can't do that, then I'm not going to do it. And he went around and he said crazy, crazy things that up loud and whatever it is. But that's that. Nimrod then, there's so much more. It's possible Nimrod started a mini war against Avram Avinu. That when Nimrod saw that Avram Avinu was powerful and couldn't fight him himself, he tried sending mercenaries to go get Avram Avinu. Some say this happened when he was back in the cave. Others say it happened right when he was there in front of him and sent thousands upon thousands of men to try to grab Avram Avinu. And at that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a huge storm. This classic lightning and thunder and everything and clouds coming in, this fog coming in. They couldn't see each other. They started killing each other. And at the end, all of them were killed, or all of them ran away, and Avram Avinu survived on his own, that he was the only one to be able to go. He then went on the wings of Gavriel and flew away from Nimrod, or toward Nimrod, again, depending on the Medrash, and he gave heavy mussar to Nimrod about what he was doing, and he went around. Some say Nimrod left him alone for a little bit. Others say he grabbed him, jailed him, and threw him in jail and said, now I'm going to do something about it. So he said the following. We're going to make a huge pit in the middle of the city. This huge pit was made, again, whether this is the same thing of Ur, it gave a measurement in the Medrash, but this is, it's huge. We're talking about hundreds of amos long, hundreds of amos wide. He made everyone within 3 days walk of where they were in Ur Kasdim to bring as much wood as they can and bring it inside that area where the pit was. They made a fire, they started a fire and had the fire going for 3 days straight and surrounded the walls with metal. This was the Kivshana Esh. The Kivshana Esh was this massive pool that they surrounded with metal and they filled it up with fire and kept going further and further and further. It was so hot that anyone who came near it was burnt up by the flames, immediately burned up by anything that had gone there. Everybody came to go see him. According to the Medrash, tens of thousands of people made grandstands to go see Avram Avinu being thrown into the flames, and they saw that Terach was going to be blamed as well. Terach was going to be thrown into the flames. Terach said it was all Haran's fault. And that's when Haran was killed, according to this message over here. Nimrod brought Avram out of jail, so was shocked at how healthy he looked. Avram had not been fed for however long he was in jail for, and yet he looked healthy. He looked like he was fine. Avram said, I was fed by God. I didn't have to worry about anything. So he said, we're going to chop off your head first and then throw your body into the flames. And now you have the classic, every sword that they used on Avram to chop off his head bounced off and hit the executioner. So tens of executioners were killed, and Avraham Avinu still didn't have anything whatsoever. The Satan came and said, let's throw him inside the fire. So people lifted up Avraham to throw him inside the fire. When they did that, flames came out from the tanur and consumed all the people who were holding Avraham, but Avraham Avinu survived. Then the Satan said, let's make a slingshot. And that's the slingshot that we learned about in the Maaseh Yisrael. So they made these two huge pillars, took a big slingshot, and they slingshotted Avram into the fire itself. Of course, everybody who slingshotted him, they got consumed by the flames. Avram fell into the flames itself. For him, the entire area was cool. Even though fire and smoke was everywhere, the people could barely see. They were able to see a vision of Avraham Avinu walking around in the cool air right inside, and everyone was shocked into a stunned silence. Nimrod said, somebody go get him. Guy walked near, he was burned up. Another guy walked near, he was burned up. So they said, we can't do it. So Nimrod called out to Avraham Avinu and said, come out from the flames and come back. Avraham said, I'll only come out if you believe in God. If you believe in God, then we'll do it. Avraham Avinu comes out, and they all call out loud, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, in loud voices. I don't know if they used exactly Yudke, Vavke, and Elokim. I have absolutely no idea. Nimrod gave Avraham Avinu many gifts, including his son. Who is his son, Nimrod's son? Eliezer Eved Avram. And that was given over to Avraham Avinu because he had survived the Kivshan Esh. For 2 years, the people followed Avraham Avinu's direction until Nimrod had a dream that scared him. He saw himself and his nation standing before a massive oven. And Avram was holding a large sword and chasing everyone away. Avram then, and I can't tell you, I have a theory on this, but I'm not going to say it on camera or on video. That this is a crazy one. Avram, in his dream, then threw an egg at Nimrod's head. And at that point, the egg turned into a huge river, which drowned all of Nimrod's army except for him and three other men. When Nimrod then looked at those three men, he saw all three men looked exactly like him. At that point, the river turned back into an egg that hatched into a chick, which flew in the air and pecked out Nimrod's eye. That's when Nimrod woke up and he said, it's time to kill Avram again. Now it's time to take down Avram once and for all. When Eliezer, his son, heard about this, he went to tell his master, and Avraham Avinu decided on his own it was time to leave. And that's when the tzivui of Lech Lecha came in. The tzivui of Lech Lecha came in at that moment. Either he ran the yeshiva's Shem Ve'Aver first, or Shem Ve'Aver was already beforehand, but that's when the tzivui came in. Moshe, what's up?
I thought
if Eliezer is Og Melech HaBashan, and not just the neshama, so to speak, of some sort, where he's connected to Og Melech HaBashan, then yes, this medrash would argue with that medrash, right? If it's the same person, because clearly it can't be the son of Nimrod and be Og who survived the Mabul. If not, then this is the other place where Eliezer Eved Avram came from. The other machlokas would be, Eliezer Eved Avram was supposed to be from Canaan. He was cursed with the curse of Canaan. That's why Avraham Avinu didn't want to marry his daughter off to Eliezer. If Eliezer was from Canaan, he couldn't have been Nimrod's son either, because Nimrod may have been a son there. I'm sorry? Chum, around, yeah, but not Canaan directly. So it would have been strange. Maybe the curse would go for all of Chum, but it'd be a little bit strange to be there. But it's one of those. It's very, very strange. I don't know. That's not there. Now, the Ibn Ezra, it's brought down, but I don't know where. Rav Shavel says it's in Pasuk Chav Vav in last week's Parsha. I didn't see it there. I couldn't find this Ibn Ezra. Maybe there's a version of the Ibn Ezra that's not in the Mikros Gedolos. But he says, you don't have to believe this Medrash since it's not mentioned in any Svarim. Neither ours nor theirs. And what I think that means is what I told you before. This is not brought down in Chumash, Bavli, Yerushalmi. Hints, yes, Psachim Kuf Yud Ches. Bava Basra Tzadiyav, we've had little places where they're brought down, but it's not brought down in its entirety in anywhere in which we'd call. Even the Medrash Rabbah is very, very quiet about what happens by your costume. Little bits and pieces we have, but we don't have the entire Medrash. So the Ibn Ezra seems to say that we don't have to. And remember what the Ramban said before. The Ramban, who brings down Midrashim all the time, says, maybe it was an Ace Nister. It wasn't necessarily an Ace Nigla. Even the Ramban says it might have been an Ace Nister. The Rambam in Mori Nevuchim said this. He didn't even bring this down. He just said that he got out somehow. that something happened and he got out. So not saying that this medrash never happened, that Urkas never happened, apparently is not going to be an issue. That's not something where you'd call somebody an apikoris for saying such a thing, because it is a little bit of a strange medrash. It could be they all, even if it did happen, it could be they all assumed that Avraham Avinu survived due to magic. Like they thought Moshe Rabbeinu was doing in Egypt, and nobody was affected by it. That nothing happened in the end of the day from it, which is crazy. But it's possible that Hashem didn't want to bring down the arguments of all these people, the idol worshippers, and anything. Whatever happened, Avram survived. He was away from Nimrod. Nimrod wasn't able to kill him. Something happened that got him out. Maybe it was this Kibshon HaEsh, and I likely say it was, but Hotzei Sicha says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I brought you out from Ur Kasdim. I was able to take you out. And that same word is used for Yetzias. Sometimes you assume that there's miracles that happened there like it was over here. But whatever this miracle was, so why didn't the Torah mention it explicitly? Why isn't it mentioned in the Torah itself? What's the pshat behind that? It seems to be a greater test than the Akedah. See, the Akedah is interesting. He's 137 years old. Yitzchak is 37, obviously. He's 137 years old. He has had Nevuah for over 70 years now. If he was 70 when he got his first Nevuah, he'd have a Nevuah and he's 137. You're talking he's had Nevuah for 67 years. He's seen that everything Hashem said has come true. Everything Hashem said has been right. So for him to do the Akedah, I'm not downplaying the Akedah. The Akedah was an unbelievable feat and what he was able to do. But the Akedah was at least after everything. This happened, according to all opinions, before he got a Nevuah, before he spoke to God. He was willing to sacrifice his life against the entire world. I know there's Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, but Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever was very private at the time. But he was willing to do this in front of everybody. Here, such a test. Why wouldn't you write it down? The Ramban in Parshas Vayigash, Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Tes Vav says, the Torah only mentions miracles that are prophesied upon beforehand, or a malach tells us what's going to happen. If there's no malach, and no Navi, even if it's a huge miracle, we're not going to mention it. Give me an example. The obvious example that'll come to mind.
Moshe's mother.
Yocheved gave birth at what age? What age? How old was she when she gave birth? And it's amazing, even though she was that old, however old she was, well over the age of 90 or 89 when Sarai became pregnant, and nonetheless, the Torah doesn't mention a thing about her. Not one thing about her. We don't mention things that Malachim and Tzadikim did not already prophesy about beforehand. The Ur Kasdim was not prophesied about. There was no prophecy. There was no, here's what's going to happen. There was no Avraham Avinu saying to Nimrod, I'm going to survive this fire. If he didn't say it, we don't write it down. It's not in the Torah itself. That's the Ramban's opinion. And every miracle in the Torah has to follow that. That if it's said by a Malach, if it's said by a Navi, then it's in. If not, then it's out. Tam Vidas says something a little bit different. He says, the reason why it's not mentioned in the Torah is because this is something that many people at that time were willing to do. People gave up their lives for their beliefs all the time, for their religion, so to speak, whenever they wanted to. They're willing to do it. If you believed in something, they were willing to die for it. That's what people believed in. That's what people did. The Akedah was different. The Akedah was a huge issue for him because that's something not about him. He goes around telling people the entire time, God doesn't want child sacrifice. God doesn't want you to kill your kid. God wants your children to survive. Why would God want something like this? And all of a sudden Hashem says, sacrifice your kid, kill your kid? That's ridiculous. That goes against everything he stood for. That was a huge test, he says. It's hypocritical. It flew in the face of everything he believed in. How could he do it and look like a fool in front of the entire world? That was a real test. But here, this was not as much of a test. According to this Tam Vidas, Rav Sternbach, he says it wasn't as much of a test. People were willing to die back then. People did it. So too Avraham Avinu was willing to die. So too Avraham Avinu was willing to give himself up. It wasn't that big of a test, so we don't write it in the Torah. Amazing answer from Rav Sternbach. The Netziv, very unique answer. The Netziv says that every one of the Avos had a Midah that they had to perfect. Now we all know this, right? What was Avraham Avinu's Midah? Chesed. And Yitzchak was? Gevurah. And Yaakov was? Teferes, Emes, Torah, whatever you want to call it. He says differently. It's an amazing Netziv. Absolutely amazing Netziv. Netziv says that Avraham stood for Torah. That everything he did was Alpi Torah. That's why we said that Avraham Avinu davened and he learned and he did all these things that one after the other, there were all these things together. His Midah was learning Torah because he was a Zakein B'Yoshev B'Yeshiva. A person who sat down and learned and he had rules that you had to live by. The life, his life and the miracles that happened to him were all based on and due to the power of the Torah that he learned. The difference with this and the Kibshon HaEsh, this Kibshon HaEsh, the reason why we don't mention it is because the power that he survived here was not due to Torah. It was due to his emunah, his faith. that flies in the face of what we need to know about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, his whole life, his lessons, everything we know about him is about Torah. When we have something that's not about Torah, because he didn't know Torah then. He just survived because of his faith, his unbelievable faith. That's not something we need to know about Avraham Avinu. So we don't mention it in the Torah because it's against the lessons that we're supposed to learn from him. Again, if you look through the stories of Avram, it means the koach of Torah is what allowed him to survive, but the Kivshan Eish is different, so therefore we don't put it down. Maskel to David, it's just something crazy. We don't want people thinking about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that what they did, right, was only, it was nothing, because Avram was thrown into a fire and survived, so Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, of course, should survive. And Chas Shalom, other people might do it as well. It's such a crazy line. We don't want people doing this. We don't want other people throwing themselves in the fire, so we don't even mention it. The Shla Kaddish says something very similar. He says it wasn't lehalacha. Lehalacha, Avraham Avinu didn't have to do it based on the circumstances that he was brought in front of Nimrod. The Medrash says that he was told worship idols or die. So that's against that Shla. But the Shla Kaddish is saying what he did in breaking the idols and doing those things and flying in the face of everybody else was not required. We don't want people doing that, so we don't write it down. But I'm going to end like this. There's a machlokas if this is one of the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. In Pirkei Avos, Parak Hei, Mishnah Gimel, Rashi mentions this is the second test. You know what the first test was? Kohen Rashi? What did he do before this? Let's say he did this at the age of 48. What was the first test that he survived? Rashi says, he survived in the ground for 13 years. Unbelievable Rashi. He says that was test number one. Test number two was Ur Kasdim. Test number three is Lech Lecha. I know, don't ask the question. It's an amazing Rashi. It takes work, it's a Rishon. But he says that was test number one, this is test number two. The Rabbeinu Yonah says it was the first test. Number two was Lech Lecha. But the Rambam, Lishitaso, right? The Rambam says that Ur Kasdim never happened. If Ur Kasdim never happened, this whole thing never happened, he says there is no test. Test number one was Lech Lecha. There's a lot to speak about here. There's so much. There's so many Rishonim. Just the Rishonim, just to speak about what does that mean? It was one of the tests. But at least I've given you the Midrashim. I've told you why it's not mentioned in the Torah over here. We've mentioned in Pirkei Avos for a little bit. I told you the Ibn Ezra that says that not believing in this Midrashim does not make you a kofer completely. Completely. You're a kofer, but you're not a kofer completely. And then we mentioned specifically the Rashi about what happened with Haran, the other opinions, the Rav Schwab, the Maskel David about Haran himself. Just go ahead, guys. We'll stop with that. Have a great show.